with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Tuesday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. And we would like to invite you out to our services. If you'd like to be part of our Fire Bible Discipleship class, that takes place on Wednesday night in the sanctuary, 7 p.m. We want people grounded in the Word and believe that as people become even more solidly grounded in their relationship with God, that the supernatural fruit is going to manifest to an even greater extent than what it has before. So we would love for you to join us in that if you are available Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Next week here on WMIE is the offering. It is their fall fundraiser here. And the goal that they have is to raise $37,000. They have been doing a number of upgrades on the facilities. In case you don't know it, computers generate heat. Heat is a bad thing for electrical components, and so there's lots of air conditioning that has to take place to keep all of this equipment cool, so it operates and carries the programs throughout. They have redone some studios, upgraded some studios over the past 6 months. A lot of things take place that people don't necessarily know about it because it's not visible. It's, you know, most people don't, you know, take tours of radio studios and things like that. And you know, over the past several years, there have been some upgrades that have been taken place to facilitate the gospel of Jesus Christ going out to Brevard County and around the globe. With that being said, they have two fundraisers a year. One is in the springtime. One of them is in the fall. And the one that is in the fall begins next Monday. So it's going to be October the 3rd. And hopefully they will have the entire $37,000 raised by October the 7th. One of the only ways that we have feedback as to the fact that there are people listening is if you do call into the radio station. We don't do the Nielsen's ratings or any of those sorts of things. And so I always like to throw out there to listeners, we do not solicit funds for the Refresh radio program all that often. If you feel like God's leading you to support that, You're more than free to. The address is at the end of the program, and you know, we just say thanks be to God and continue going. And God has helped us. We're almost 9 years in to the Refresh radio program at this point in time. But separate from the program itself is the radio expenses. The offering goes to that. And so if you feel like God is leading you to support the radio station and the ministry of the radio station, here's the phone number. It's 321-632-1000, 321-632-1000. And whenever you call in, tell them, hey, I want to join with you for the next 6 months to raise the funds that are necessary. I forget what we had a transmitter, I think, that went out, or there was some part that went out. It was it was a very important part. And so that had to be replaced. This is the fund that helps keep all of those purchases and pieces of equipment on hand and functioning. So whenever you call in and say, hey, I'd like to stand with you for the next 6 months, tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio program. And that would be a great big blessing, because they let us know, hey, somebody from the radio station called, and you can also send us an email and things like that. But that very rarely happens. So 321-632-1000 next week for the fall offering here for WMI. Let's go back to Acts chapter 11. And verse number 15, we'll begin reading the context to set us up here for verse number 18, is where we're going to be today. And as I began to speak, Peter said, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? So that's where we ended yesterday. Verse number 18 says, when they heard these things, they became silent and they glorified God, saying, then God also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. So, The point of this discussion is that we started off seeking a spiritual truth, in which we found in Acts chapter 10, verse number 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. Okay, so we need to realize that no matter if you came from a rich background, a poor background, a city background, a country background, if you came from America or you came from some other part of the world, that no matter what background you came from, the opportunity in the kingdom of God for you to have Jesus living in your heart and operating in the with the fullness of God in your life is available to everyone. Absolutely everyone. You know, the world tends to operate off of a networking system. You know, the word privilege gets thrown around sometimes. I remember watching a documentary or a news article about Kobe Bryant. It was after he died, him and his daughter died in that helicopter crash. And they were showing some of the techniques that he was teaching her during a basketball practice. And, you know, I've fooled around with a basketball and horsed around playing basketball with young people for years. I, played on an intramural team when I was in college. I'm short. There's just not a whole lot of upside for my basketball playing ability. But I'm smart enough to realize that there are things that people know about playing basketball that I don't know. So I'm watching Kobe Bryant as he is teaching his daughter to play basketball. And it was like, huh, I never had anybody teach me how to do that. He was setting her up for success playing basketball. He knew things. Somebody had taught him. I think his dad was a professional basketball player, if I'm not mistaken. And so his dad taught him. He went on and achieved greater things than his dad did. And then he's passing it on to his daughter, who, had she not died, she may have been one of the greatest female basketball players that ever lived, because there was information that was passed along. That was not something that was to be jealous of over, or saying, wait a minute, you can't do that because other people aren't teaching that to their daughters. It was setting them up for success. And I think that if, you know, all of the girls on that team, he probably would have taught them all the same thing. You and I, we need to thank God for those who've learned things, who've passed that information on to us, and then we need to make the most out of that information, and then we need to pass it on to others who that they will also be able to do great and mighty things as a result of that. So let's not allow jealousy or anything like that to dismantle us or distract us. That's the word I'm looking for. Distract us from the Word of God. This was a very contentious moment in the church's history. And when Peter got done and said, who was I that I could withstand God? The contention left and something else came and took its place. It said, when they heard these things, they became silent. The goal in disputes amongst believers is not to hear, you're right, Bob. That's not the goal. The goal is not to hear, you were wrong, Bob. That's not the goal. The goal is to bring everyone to the place where they see the sovereignty of God moving beyond their wildest expectations. And so there's a moment where we've got to evaluate the new information that we have been presented with and ponder it. Now, I'm a preacher that loves feedback. If you watch any of our live streams, I oftentimes will preach. I'm literally behind this microphone. I'm in a chair. I'm sitting. I'm watching lights that are going on. There's nobody to look at or anything like that. But when I preach, I'm a little more animated. Okay, I'm a lot more animated. And the only way that I know that a person has grabbed hold of the information is if they respond in some sort of way. And so a lot of times I'll ask our congregation, amen, you know, and one guest speaker said, you know, I know that that means so be it, but, you know, when I'm preaching, if you would say amen, then that lets me know that you've got it, that you got the point, so we can move forward. So our congregation is not tremendously demonstrative when it comes to amen. So sometimes I'll amen myself. And so through the years, I've had this discussion with my wife, and she said, honey, you've been feeding on that truth for, you know, hours or weeks, and we're just now hearing it for the first time. Just because the people are not audibly responding does not mean that they haven't got it. It means they're still processing it. Here, the people who had initiated this contentious moment, they suddenly find themselves speechless. I want you to know that's not a bad thing. It's not meant to be, okay, I win, you lose. Guys, if you're in a marital relationship and your method is I win, you lose, you've lost. It's not one or the other. We need to both understand where we are going forward. And the church needed to realize that God's goal was not just to touch the Jewish people. His goal was to touch and redeem the world. And so the contentious moves forward to a place of silence. But that silence didn't last for very long, because the silence gave way to this. And they glorified God, saying, then God also has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. They moved from contentiousness to silence to glorifying God. There are many people who listen to the radio program and, you know, you're not a big fan of Pentecostals. I'm okay with that. I'm okay. Listen, if we have Jesus is the only way to get to heaven, and if we repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and he writes our names in the Lamb's Book of Life, we have more in common than we have in a different opinion on. I can celebrate that commonality. I can celebrate Jesus. I can celebrate the Savior. We're going to spend forever for heaven. There's not going to be, like here on earth, there's not going to be an Assembly of God neighborhood and a Baptist neighborhood and a Presbyterian neighborhood, a Methodist neighborhood, a Lutheran. There's not going to be an independent neighborhood with no homeowners associations or anything like that. There's going to be heaven. And the throne room has a king on it, and his name is Jesus. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's the goal. The Holy Spirit points us to Jesus, and that's the goal. That's the goal. So after Peter makes this this declaration, God gave him the same gift he gave us when we believed. Who was I to withstand God? The other people stopped talking, and then they started praising God. That's exactly what that happened on the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost resulted in people hearing God be praised in their language that they could understand. So this personal truth that Peter had received has now become a corporate truth that the body of Christ has understood. And look, it's not done yet. And here's what it says. They have concluded, then God has granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. I am a person who believes that repentance is not a bad word. I believe that it is a word that is to be embraced. So my wife and I were having a discussion here a few weeks ago, and it was one of those moments where she had seen something and someone and the conversation took a turn and said, what are we capable of without Jesus? What are we, you know, she had seen something and it caused her to say, what would our life be like without Jesus? Have you ever stopped to think of that? And I'm not talking about just the things that you have been saved from in your past. I'm asking about what is the potential for ungodliness that you have if it wasn't for the grace of God. You see, I believe repentance not only has a retroactive effect, I believe that it has a preventative effect. I think that there is a benefit that changing course, changing direction, that's not a bad thing. It's a wonderful thing. I was listening to a story here a few weeks ago, and a person was flying a plane, and they were communicating with an air traffic controller, and they were in trouble. And an air traffic controller told them what was in their path, and he said, "You're going to have to change course like I tell you to change course. You need to trust my voice. Don't pay attention to anybody else's voice. Pay attention to my voice. I will help you to change your course so that you can get to your destination safely." You see, that's all repentance really is. It's a gift from God. Listen, it says here, "Then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life." That word granted, it's sometimes referred to just in a generic form of giving, but many times it is describing a gift that is sacrificial. It's a gift, an offering to someone who that it has value to it. And I want you to know that if there was any other way for man to be saved other than through the sinless birth, sinless life, sinless death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and the ascension to the Father, if there was any other way to achieve that, then it would not have been necessary for God to give his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. God gave, the Father gave the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation. Repentance is essential. Repentance is absolutely imperative. And it is the gift from God. Okay? It's not because you're a bad person. It's because you are a person that God wants to redeem. He wants to reconcile with. He wants to spend forever with you. And so I want to remind you that the scriptures refer to the gifts that God gives as good and perfect gifts. So for me to deprive a person of the opportunity to repent would not be treating the gift that God has brought into that person's life in a sufficient manner. Repentance is not just a change of direction. It's a change of heart. It's a change of mind. It is a change in leadership. And so here in Acts chapter 11, verse number 18, the response to what Peter has said, the critics are now saying, "Then God has also granted to the people who are not like us, the people who we looked down upon, the people that we thought had no hope whatsoever, God has granted them repentance to," get this, "life." He's given them repentance to life. Now, I will tell you that life is a gift. Life is precious. Man, I've blinked a few times in 30 years of pastoring at Merit Assembly of God has just gone. You know, I can still remember the early day challenges just like it was yesterday. Sometimes I start trying to, you know, place things on the timeline, and my simple rule is if I think it was X number of years, I multiply it by 2, and then I will be pretty close. In all that you do, don't forget to live the abundant life that Jesus wanted you to live. Okay? There's a difference between existing and living, and God wants you to live. The repentance set you up for a higher quality of life than you could have ever provided for yourself. And so the constant thing that I've got to remember, I've watched some, you know, space movies and things like that, and they're always talking about course corrections. So I want to close today's broadcast with asking you this question. Are there any course corrections that you need to make in your life? Maybe it's not a 180 degree turn. Maybe you just realize that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you today, and he's putting his finger on something in your life and saying, I need you to repent of this. I need you to make a course correction in your life because you don't know it, but this action here is got you on a path of destruction, and I want you off of that path as early as possible. I'll close with a personal story today. Several years ago, I was having a conversation with a person, and I went and took my seat, and the Holy Spirit met me at my seat and said, how dare you? I said, how dare I what? And he said, how dare you sow a seed of strife and discord between two individuals like that? I said, I didn't mean to do that. He said, well, that's what you did. And so I got up and I went and repented and humbly apologized. And the brother said, brother, that was no big deal. And my response was this: it was big enough deal to the Holy Spirit to meet me at my chair, and I want to do what he says. If the Holy Spirit's correcting something in your life, repent of it. I'll tell you that repentance will lead you to a higher quality of life. See you tomorrow, right here on.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.